How many are glad somebody prayed for you when you were troubled at one time or another? Amen. We can call upon the mighty name of Jesus. You ever get in trouble and you don't know what to do? Call on His mighty name. Amen. He'll see you through. He'll lift you up, make you like new. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you doing good today? Who's doing good today? Amen. Praise God. Thanks for coming to church after it's already Wednesday. What do they call that? Hump day, I guess. Huh? You got to get over Wednesday to get to the, I guess everybody's looking for the weekend, unless you work the weekend. You know, then you got to, So some of you own businesses and that doesn't work so well. Well, thank you, Jesus. How many are glad for that mighty name? How many know it's not by our might, not by our power, but by His Spirit, which works within us? Really, the Spirit of Christ that you received when you were born again. And then the great Holy Spirit, right, who empowers that Spirit that you received from above. That birth. Glory to God. Isn't that awesome that we've been born again? Whew. All right. We were talking Sunday. I'm going to start there again. Let's pray real quick and then we'll do that. Father, we thank you for who you are. That Father, you love us. You have purchased us with your own blood. And you desire us to know you. Father, you have given us keys to the kingdom. And we're so grateful, Father. We're so thankful that we can walk with you, Lord. We ask you to unveil the truth tonight to our spirits. Feed us, Lord. Help us to be strengthened and nourished with your word tonight. That there be truth that comes forth that will continue to remind us and continue to work with us, Lord, and set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we started Sunday morning here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. And right here at the end, it says, now this is John, he had the revelation. And really, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, if you remember, in the first chapter. So John's not really just sharing revelation. A lot of it does deal with the last days. And everybody says, you know, how come you don't preach a lot out of there? I'm still learning it myself. We do have some insight. We know that he is coming back. How many know Jesus is coming back in a bodily form? Amen. The new heaven and the new earth, you know, the new Jerusalem's going to sit right there where Jerusalem is now, amen, on the Mount of Olives. Jesus will split that, and there is going to be a time when he will rule and reign. Hallelujah. The Bible says 1,500, I was thinking about that the other day, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. Can you imagine that? 1,500 miles square. Ooh, that's going to be a big city. Glory to God. And I think Tony and I were talking about it a little bit. I wonder if there's going to be levels, you know, different places and rooms and places to go on the inside of there. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to reign with him. And that's the most important thing we need to know. He's coming again. And are we ready? And are you walking with him now? Do you know him now? Amen. We're getting to know him. But here it says in the sixth verse of John's revelation here, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the mighty thunderings saying. Can you imagine that? Wow. Whew, must have been something. He heard a great multitude, a whole bunch of voices. They said, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. The Lord God omnipotent. We know that that word simply means all powerful. How many know that God has all power? Hallelujah. And we said that God used his power in different ways. And number one, we said that God created. How many know he created the heavens and the earth? He created mankind. He used his power to do good. We said that was the second thing. Of course, creation is good. He said it was very good. But Jesus went about doing good. And he was anointed, what, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we said that oppression is to exercise hard control over. Amen. He wants to destroy that hard control. We prayed tonight for someone that had hard control being exercised over them. We know it's a work of the devil because he wants to oppress. And Jesus wants to set free and do good. And we said, hallelujah, that we were empowered with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, it said the Holy Spirit came upon us to be a witness. God wants us to use his power to empower us. Amen. To be a witness for him. And also in Hebrews chapter 1, we said that he holds everything together with the might of his power. Amen. The word of his power. He said it's all held together with his word, what he has said. And finally, number 5, it was Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't really say exactly what that was, but that God wants us to know that his power is working, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is working in us. But it also says there in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Let's look at that for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen. And we are sealed with his power. It works in us. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm getting there because we're going to go there anyway. Hallelujah. Let's look there at verse 13. It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now that purchased possession is going to be when we get what? Our new glorified body. We got one glorified body to our account. Amen. How many know you got one? Hallelujah. You may as well walk in health until you get it. Praise God. Glory to God. We have the redemption. The purchased possession. He purchased you and I. You know, our bodies were purchased by him, just like our spirit. We belong to him with our spirit, with our soul, and with our body. Amen. All of us belongs to him. He didn't just purchase our spirit, left the rest up to us. He purchased all of us. Do you know the Bible says God is for the body and the body for the Lord? Without your body, you're not going to be here. You're going to have zero authority in the earth, zero power, absolutely none, because you won't be able to stay here without that body. That body's important. It's just as important as the rest of you. Amen. And what we do with it's important. Hallelujah. You know, he said to praise him with all of our what? All of our might, all of our soul, all of our strength. All of our being, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. With all of us, all parts of us. But verse 15, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. Now that second word here, the working of his mighty power, is engere, I believe, E-N-G. And anyway, let me look it up here. Hold on. Hallelujah. Okay, praise the Lord. This is an energy. It's a display of power. An energy, we said, showing a display of power that we don't see with the natural eye. You don't really see it. Kind of like this electricity. You see the effects of it, but you don't see the electricity. You don't see the power plant working, but you see the lights on. Amen? And that's with you. This is a working of the mighty power of God that works on the inside of us when we don't even see it. We don't realize it. We don't pay a lot of attention. You know, we just turn the light switch on. We don't pay attention to all the power that's flowing there. We see the effects of the light, and that's what works in you. It's an energy, more or less, an energy power that works within you. E-N-A-R-G-N-I-A, if you want to look it up in the Greek, it's 1704. In the Strong's, a display of power, energy, showing. This is a power that's working on the inside of us all the time. And he said, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of that power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, according to the working of his energy that's on the inside of you, his spirit that dwells within. How many know you've been lit? Amen. Amen. You've been lit. Your spirit was lit by Jesus himself. When he came in, your spirit was changed from darkness to light. And there was a power displayed. He said, well, why are we looking at all this power? Because I want us to understand what power really is. Okay? There's a couple of words that are very important that I would like to look at tonight. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8 and look at it here first in Matthew 8. Matthew 8, 5. All right, I want to see a few things here that I've written down. So let's start with the fifth verse, which is what I said, Matthew 8, 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you. And his servant was healed at the same hour. Now, when we look here, hallelujah, we see the centurion who came to Jesus. But he recognized something about Jesus. He understood. Now, I'm not sure exactly how he understood it, other than his own life. He gives us a little bit of insight. But he understood that Jesus had the authority to speak the word of God and heal his servant. He knew from what he had heard that Jesus has power with words. Perhaps he heard when they crossed the sea that he was asleep in the ship and he had heard the story. where they were going across and the great winds came. And it looks like the ship is sinking, but Jesus was asleep and the disciples were trying to get the water out of the ship and they became very afraid. They're concerned so much they thought they might perish. That means the water's coming in pretty good. But where was Jesus? He was asleep. He wasn't worried. Apparently he must have been pretty tired for all that to be going on, and he had woken up, but they woke him up, if you remember. And Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? Why are you so afraid? He just got up. He said, peace be still. Peace be still. And they marveled that the waves and the wind obeyed what he said. Why? Because of authority. See, there's a difference. Now, if you look in the King James, it uses the word here, for I also am a man under authority, or maybe your Bible says power. But authority is what it is. Hallelujah. And in the Greek, it doesn't matter so much what the word is, but it's enousia, and E-N-O-U-S-I-A. And I may be pronouncing that wrong, I'm not sure. But it means force, competency, freedom, mastery, or to master over something, magistrate, superhuman. Hallelujah. How many would believe? Maybe they saw Jesus as superhuman, but he was still human. How many know everything he did as a man? Now we're talking about God Almighty, who came to earth, emptied himself, and became a servant, and said, I'm going to come as a man. And I'm going to operate on the earth as a man. I set aside my deity. Yes, he was alive unto God. His spirit was born alive. He was born of the blood of God. Yes. Which stopped the sin, the DNA from his body being from the DNA of man, which would have brought sin, was the DNA of God. He said, a body have I prepared for you. But Jesus was not born in sin as you and I. Yet he was what? Made to be sin. He lived that perfect life, the sinless life. It was so important. Hallelujah. That's the whole importance of the virgin birth, as we know. But here it says here, for I am a man. The centurion gives us a little sneak preview. He said, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this one, go. And what does he do? He goes. And to another, hey, come here. And he comes. And to another, do this. And he does it. Authority is simply delegated, right? Authority. It's delegated power. In other words, he recognized that Jesus was under the power of God and under the power of a greater being. He knew that he had authority over sickness and disease. He knew that he had authority to speak, and it shall be done. And that's what this really is, that delegated authority. And that same authority that was in Jesus is in you and I. Because we received the same nature when we were born again. We were buried with him, right? We were buried with him in baptism. That's what we're getting ready to celebrate here with the resurrection, right? We were buried with him in death. He bore, we were there with him at the cross. We were there with him when he was put in the grave. We were raised, the Bible says, with him. Hallelujah. If you're in him and he's in you, you become one with him, and he's given you and I all that same authority, that same delegated power to say no to the devil. Hallelujah. I'm getting out of my thing here. So, hallelujah. Basically, this exousia power, this power, this authority, That's the Greek word, exousia. I say it, and it is done. Everybody say, I say it, and it is done. I have authority with God. Amen. Hallelujah. So whosoever, he said in Mark 11, this is the authority that was recognized. The centurion understood, when I speak, they do what I say. When you speak, Jesus, I believe that whatever you say will come to pass. Because I've been watching you. Perhaps he heard things, he saw things. In some way, he became aware that Jesus had the power, that what he says is what's going to happen. Just like what you say will happen when we believe. Amen. He says, when we believe it in our heart and we speak it with our mouth, it will take place. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say this with me. By faith, I say, everything I say comes to pass. I'm going to stop saying dumb stuff. I'm going to stop saying foolish things. I speak and it is done. Hallelujah. Amen. You can speak to that mountain. Amen. We have to realize we've been given a certain amount of authority. Hallelujah. And when Jesus heard that, he marveled at this authority that this centurion Gentile had. Now, he was not being disrespectful to Jesus, because it goes on and he said, you know, Jesus, don't worry about it. You don't have to come under my roof. He was actually being very polite, because in that day, it was by law, the Jewish law, he didn't want to cause him any trouble. He knows Jesus is a rabbi. He's a preacher. He's one of the teachers of the day. He said, don't worry. Don't come under my roof. You don't have to. I'm sure Jesus would have. He didn't care too much about breaking the law. Amen. He was already fulfilling it. But he said, okay, thank you. He said, I haven't seen such great faith. Hallelujah. How many know great faith is when we speak and it comes to pass? Great faith is when you recognize I have authority, just like Jesus had authority, because he delegated that authority to you and I, the same authority, and actually more authority than what Adam had. Do you know why? Adam had authority on the earth, remember? He said, you have dominion. You're the dominion. His dominion was the earth. But Jesus had authority, the Bible says, in heaven and in earth. Let's turn to Matthew 28 for a minute. I'll show you this here. Matthew chapter 28. Hallelujah. Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, talking about the disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You realize, he says, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Now I'm telling you, you go. You go and exercise the authority that I've been given. I'm giving it to you. Hallelujah. He is restoring the authority. See, God restored the authority that was once in Adam. He gave to Adam. But we've got the Adam of God. Amen. The last Adam, who was Jesus. The Bible says he's the last Adam. Through the one man, death reigned, right? Through Adam, death reigned. And through Christ, through Jesus Christ, that second man Adam. Let's go to Romans 5 for a minute. Look at that. Romans 5:17. Hallelujah. See, that is where he said, now observe the things that I've commanded you. I'm telling you guys, listen, disciples, I'm going away. It wouldn't be better if he didn't go away and send someone to help us, right? He said, I'm leaving, but I'm giving you that authority. You go now. Let's go there to Romans 5 for a minute. Romans 5. Hallelujah. Whew. I am excited. I have authority. I speak. How about you? You speak? Amen. And God does it. Amen. It happens. When I speak, things change. And when you speak, things change. It's an authority that he gave us. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse 17. It says, for by the one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came or death came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act or his obedience, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification to life. So through Adam, death reigned. Through Christ came the justification or made righteous. Amen. We received life. And so we see here in the second part, when Jesus came, we received that free gift, which came to all men. First, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also, one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Hallelujah. We entered into a new covenant with God. We entered into a place where we now receive the same righteousness that Jesus has. We entered into a place where there was a transition, amen, that we went from death to life. And God's power moved in. And God's authority moved in with us. And we see there that the centurion was looking at it and he realized, just speak the word only, it'll be done. Amen. That's the authority of God. Authority can be carried out, and you've seen this authority, and we see that in the policeman, don't we? He doesn't have so much power to stop the bus that's coming, but he has the authority, right? When he says stop, he puts his hand up and he says, go any further, that's as far as you go, please stop, or stop, you know. Amen. Or how many knows when those flashing lights come on, you know, and you get that, you know, sick feeling in your stomach. You're like, oh, whoops. And he comes up, what, to the window? And how fast were you going, sir? He already knows, you know. It's not a question. They're going a little bit fast today. Are you in a hurry? And we say, sorry about that. Hopefully we try to be real nice and maybe we'll get off with a warning if we're lucky, right? And he writes us a little ticket to remind us to watch out how fast you're going. Hallelujah. Why? Because he has the authority. He has he's got the power to do that. Because why? Who gave him the authority? The city gave him the authority. That municipality that he's under gave him that authority. You say, well, I think I'll just keep on going next time they put the lights on. I don't like getting those tickets. I'm just going to keep on rolling. How many know? Pretty soon there's going to be some extra authority. They back up his authority. Why? Because you go down and you say, well, I didn't like that ticket. So you go to that court and you say, Judge, I don't like this ticket. I don't think I deserve that ticket. Well, according to the police officer whom we have given the power and the authority to pull you over. His radar says you were going too fast. Oh, not only that, we now have cameras on all the streets, and the camera was showing you going too fast. Oh my goodness, you mean they got it on camera too? Well, we figured it out, and it looks like you were speeding. So I'm sorry, but you'll have to pay that ticket. So in other words, the city or the municipality that gave him that power, that authority, that power, backs up that power and that authority. Well, how many know you and I are citizens of another city? We are citizens. We're heavenly citizens. Amen. And we've been given authority and power, and all of heaven backs you up. And you say, well, what gives me that right? Hallelujah. Well, let's see here in Luke chapter 10. Jesus gave us that power. That's what we're looking at here tonight, where we see that authority working through the centurion. But we also see it here, Luke chapter 10, and we'll start at the 17th verse here and read down a little bit. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nonetheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now here in this 19th verse, he said, behold, I give you the power, or if you look that word up, that is exousia. In other words, I give you the authority. Hallelujah. He says, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The second power is dunamis, or where we get our word dynamite. You have the authority to stop all the power of the devil. Hallelujah. That means you yourself. He said, I've given you that, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. How many know the power? The devil may have some power, but he does not have the right, and his power, his authority has been stripped by Jesus himself. He stopped his right from exercising any kind of power against you. And you now have authority over him, and you can say, Mr. Devil, stop it right there. You've come too far. Sickness and disease, leave my body. Poverty and lack, get off of my life. Strife, division, you go from me. I'm not going to have a part of you. Sin, you cannot control me any longer because I'm a servant of the King. Hallelujah. Amen. Thoughts, I take you captive in the name of Jesus because I have been given authority to trample. Hallelujah. Now that's a good word. You know what trample is? That means, you know, if we really want to take that out, this is really good because he says, trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing's going to harm you. He cannot sting you. He cannot stop you. He has no authority to continue his works against you. Everybody says, well, he doesn't have any power. No, he has a certain amount of power. It's much diminished from what it was long ago. He has a little bit of power, but he has no authority. He does not have that right to come against you because why? you're a child of God. And Jesus has given us the authority over him to stop his works, to stop him in his tracks, to say, devil, you've come too far. I am going to trample you. I'm just going to run right over you. Hallelujah. How many know? There are people that try to impersonate a police officer. Anybody ever seen that? You know, they're going to try to stop the traffic. They're going to try to insist their will on somebody. And how many know it doesn't go over so good? They end up getting in what? All kinds of trouble. Why? Because they don't have the power. They don't have the authority. They weren't given it. They weren't given that kind of authority. Amen. So where they just say, you know, people, who are you? You're just like me. You don't have that authority. But the devil recognizes your authority because on the inside of you, there's a scar where your old spirit went out and your new spirit came in. And he says, he knows you're a child of God. He knows you have authority. But are you recognizing and using that authority? Are you speaking against him and using your words and saying, no, that's far enough. Now get. Now go. Now healing, you come to me because I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go! Blessing, come. Prosperity, come. Poverty, you go. Lack, you leave me. My blessing, come. Because what I say is what takes place. Because I am in his stead. I am speaking in his name. He has given me all authority. And he's given you that authority. He said, I give you this authority. I give you the authority. Right here. He said, look, I give you. Now, if somebody's giving you something, do you have it? Amen. How many know I can give you a new car, but that doesn't mean you're driving it. You could put it in your park it in your driveway. Or you could leave it over here in the church parking lot. Let all of us see how great and wonderful it is. Amen. Well, don't you know you have a new car? Well, could you give me a ride to the store, Pastor Doug? Well, I thought you have a new car that was given to you. It's yours, right? Yeah, I've got that, but I thought I'd just ride, you know, just get rides for a while yet. Let everybody just look at it. See how pretty it is, how shiny it is. You might go out there and shine it up once in a while. But how many know you've got to put the key in it? You've got to turn it on and you've got to put it in gear and you've got to drive it. And you can have authority in your life, but until you set the key of your words in your mouth and you begin to say with your mouth, by his stripes, I was healed. That there's no authority released and that authority is not operative until you begin to use it. And you say no to the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, whew, this is awesome. Amen. It is awesome because we have that authority. We have that over all the dynamite that the devil can put together. You and I can trample under our feet. Now, look over here in Romans chapter 16 real quick. I want to share this. This is really good. I'm not going to make it long tonight because I know that we know some things, but we'll get to some more scriptures. Hallelujah. But Romans chapter 16. And I want us to look here at verse number 20. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 16:20. I know I've set this here. Yeah, there it is. Hallelujah. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace will crush or soon crush, you might say, Satan under your feet shortly. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. The God of peace, he's going to crush, and that word there, obliterate, smash or demolish the power of the enemy. And how many know that Jesus came? Amen. He has smashed, he has obliterated, and he has demolished the power of the enemy. And the picture here is if you take a bucket of grapes and you're trying to make wine. Have you ever seen that done? Maybe you saw it on a movie or on a video, or maybe you saw it in person, you know, where they were making some fresh wine and they take their shoes off and they're crushing the grapes till they are nothing. You're crushing it to smithereens. And how many know that on your feet is the gospel of peace? And when Paul was talking about the Roman soldier, and he said, he had those shoes, and they're not just covered on the top, but you've got those big old spikes on the bottom, like that, and they had those so that if they had to continue moving forward, it didn't matter if there were rocks in the way or a human being standing there, they're going to walk right over them and crush them to smithereens, to crush it, to smash it. It's like the story that you see with the man at the Gadarene. Remember the demoniac that was there when they crossed the sea? And Jesus said he was there and he would pull asunder, the same word there. He tore asunder those chains. He made them to where those chains were no good anymore. He would rip them off his wrist. They could not be used for anything else. He had tore them apart. And the Bible says that Jesus is getting ready to come back and all his power will be destroyed once and forever. He's given you that authority and his power is not going to be able to stop you any longer. It cannot control you. He does not have the right to exercise hard control over us because Jesus how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. How God anointed Vicky and Tony with the anointing of the Holy Ghost and power, who go about doing good and healing all who are what? Oppressed of the devil. He anointed you and you, each and every one of you. Amen. How God anointed Terry with the Holy Ghost and with power. He goes about doing good and healing all who are what? Under the hard control of the devil. If you hear about it, you can say, devil, you desist in your maneuvers against them. I say, God's power is greater. Now stop it. Get off of their life. Get off of my life. Stop trying to oppress me. Stop trying to hold me down. That means like just holding somebody under a thumb, you know, where they're just controlling you every little which way. And they're trying to make you do everything they say. And you say, no, Mr. Devil, I'm not going to do what you say. I take my thoughts captive and I cast down those imaginations and every high thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go over there to... Let's go to Colossians 2:15 first, and we'll see where Jesus destroyed that power. He said he made a show of them openly. Amen. How many ever sing that song? You remember that song where Jesus, he made a show of them openly, is under my feet. The devil's under my feet. Hallelujah. Amen. He bore principalities and made a show of them openly. Here it is, Colossians 2:15. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Hallelujah. He triumphed over them. He was nailed to that cross. He defeated the devil. He won that victory. Why? Because the Bible says they wouldn't have nailed him to the cross if they realized he was going to destroy their power and their authority and stop it. Because he was the man that had never sinned, who became sin, who died on that cross, who was buried, and we were buried with him, who was raised, and you and I were raised with him. And we now operate in that same authority that Jesus had when he was here on this earth. He made a show of the devil openly, he destroyed his power and stopped him. He said, you have no authority left, devil. You know, it's not that he has absolutely no power. His power was much diminished. He was stupid enough to invent sin in heaven. Amen. Come against God, said I'll be lifted up. We'll look at that at some point. But hallelujah. But there it is. He spoiled the principality. He spoiled that power. Amen. And Jesus said in John 16:33, for you and I, that we are not to worry. We're not to be concerned about what's going on in this world because we have authority over all his power. 16:33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And if you're in Christ and he's in you, then where does that put you? That puts you as an overcomer over all the work and all the problems and trials. Amen. Hallelujah. The tribulation that comes against you in this world. Hallelujah. We have that authority. It was given to you and I. Ephesians chapter 2. Now there's a lot of things here in Ephesians. When you go through and read, you see who you are. And you see where Christ has taken us and where he has seated us. We were talking there about the first chapter earlier with verse 19 that, you know, what is the exceeding greatness of this power that's working with the, in us, the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, that same power that's at work within each and every one of us, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, verse 20, and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age and that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. How many know that you and I are the body of Christ? And if he is seated in heavenly places, and chapter 2 verse 6 says that when we and you and I, and raised us up, even when we, verse 5 says, when we were in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. But we were raised up and we were seated with him far above, according to the first chapter. What? Where? Far above all the power of the devil. That means he's under your feet. He said, I'm going to make him like a footstool. You and I are seated with him in heavenly places far above. We're looking down on him. He's having to look up at us. He's trying to defeat us. He's sequestered to this lower earthly region. Do you understand that? The devil's not just out here doing what he wants. He has been punished and sequestered and said, no, you've got to go down to that lower earthly region, devil. He's been kicked out of heaven. He can't just go back up there. He doesn't just fly around, do whatever he wants. No, his power is limited. And yes, he comes. Yes, he tries to steal the word. But his greatest deception is he's got to trick you and I. He's got to deceive us. Otherwise, why wouldn't he just be out killing us all? Think about it. He can't just kill people because they're human. He's got to trick them into doing it themselves. And he's having kind of a hard time doing it. Yeah, he gets a few people here and there. But percentage-wise, it's not all that many. Amen. Hallelujah. He tries to get them tricking and put them into places of war, you know, possess them, give them ideas like go to war. You know, that's the devil's work. He works through ungenerate men like Hitler, who he trained and who was trained under certain people. and his death spirit was not alive unto God, and he couldn't hear from God. And they follow the work of the enemy. That's why we have the troubles here on the earth. But you and I, we can say it, and it is done. Amen? Because we have that authority. We've been given that authority. Let's stand up for a minute. We know that authority that's there, and he has highly exalted him. Remember over in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus was what? Highly exalted. Given him the name, which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll get more into the name and that authority of that name. But we have that authority. We have that power. We have the exousia. That is delegated authority, and we have the Holy Spirit, which you will receive power. That power is the same as the dynamite. The dynamite power of God that we've received from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. How many want to explode, go somewhere, explode for God? Amen. Let that power explode for you, and it's going to happen one way, and that's with our words. Amen. Because we're going to have what we say. When we speak, the devil goes. He runs from us as if in terror. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil. He will flee from you and I. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We thank you that you are all powerful and that you have delegated your power and your ability to us, Lord. You have given us the right to use your name. You have given us the authority to say it, Lord, and command it to be. We can say, go, devil, healing come. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. You have given us that authority. We can say, Father God, abundance be. Lack you go, abundance come. Father, you have given us that ability and those words. And we thank you, Father, for the truth of your word, that you have spoiled the principalities and powers, made a show of them openly, and you have stopped him. He cannot defeat us. You said to be of good cheer, because even if we face tribulation, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, and I've given that authority to us. Hallelujah. We thank you for that, Father, and we ask that you'd help us to walk in it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.